Good morning. Last week we began the sugya of Sechiras Karka, and we spent much of the shiur focusing on the geder, what it means to rent something. And we pointed out there's a machlokes rishonim that there are many nafkaminos about what a person gets how to define the kinyan of Sechiras. According to some rishonim, it is a memkar liyoyime, which is actually a gemara. You've bought something, it's yours. And therefore, a few nafkaminos, if you rent the house and then the person dies or the house falls, according to some rishonim, you don't get a refund. Since you bought it, it's yours. Anything that happens is mazlecha garam. And just like when you buy something, if an oinus occurs, you do not get your money back. So too, the arshitas that say this by schirus. Others argue and say Schiros is not a memkar liyoyime, that's only a halacha in Hilchos Oinah. Adrabba, it's a shibud, you're paying for the benefit, you're paying for the use. And therefore, if something happens, if you do not have the use, there's an oinus, you would get your money back. And again, we pointed out last time, this is not such a simple tliya. There are other opinions that mix and match with the halachas, but there is a basic question of what the definition of a Schiros is. Now, an important nafkamina, which comes up all the time, is if a person signs a lease, say a three-year lease, and he comes to the landlord in middle. We actually had such a case where it was actually a two-year lease, and at some point the landlord gave notice to the tenant that he was terminating the lease. He needed it for himself, whatever the reason was, and he gave the person 6 months' notice to find another apartment. The tenant said, fine, he'll look around. Every few weeks, they had another discussion, and the tenant said, yes, I'm leaving. Sure enough, when it comes to the end of the 6 months, the tenant comes back and says, I'm sorry, I wasn't able to find another apartment, so I'm staying. You gave me notice, and I told you I was going to leave. So he came to the dentist, he pulls out the lease. And the lease says that you have to give written notice. So as the tenant says, you didn't give written notice. So it's true, I'm not denying the fact that you told me to leave. And I'm not denying the fact that I told you that I would. But since we have a contract, since we have a kinyan, a verbal agreement is not enough, or a mechila is not enough to override the contract. The landlord was extremely upset. He was actually a good friend of the tenant, or was previously a good friend of the tenant. So he gave him a whole schmooze in front of him. How could you do this? We're Erlich Yidin, you gave me your word. I didn't feel that with a friend and an old chaver, I have to go with the words of the contract. And he gave it to him. Now, actually, what happened in this particular case is that the tenant felt bad and he saw where things were heading. He said, please don't paskin for 2 or 3 days. Let me think over this. Let me see what I can do. Calls back 2 days later and says that, Baruch Hashem, I scrambled, I realized that I have to get out. I found another apartment, so I'm leaving tomorrow. The landlord was overjoyed. Anyway, he was happy to get rid of him. He had another tenant lined up. He was very happy. The next day, get a phone call, get a message on my voicemail from the landlord. You know, hello, I apologize, but this other tenant that I had lined up to take the unit backed out. So now I want to go come back to a dentist and say the tenant has no right to leave. This is a true story. You can't make these up. Now, at least in this particular case, the landlord happened to have been a very well-intentioned fellow when it was pointed out to him that he was being a bit hypocritical and that if he came back for a din Torah, he would be taking the position that he ranked out the tenant for taking. So he conceded the point and he said, okay, fine, let him go. But what's the halacha? If you have a contract, and you're locked in for a year and the parties verbally agreed to be meichel it, what's the halacha? So this is a huge machlokes. The Rivash says that if you've signed a lease for a year, it's a kinyan. Kinyanim, you can't undo a kinyan just by verbally being meichel. If you want to undo the kinyan, you have to actually make a kinyan in reverse, where you have to be makne the right that you have to this apartment. The tenant would have to make a kinyan to be makne it back to the owner. In the absence of a formal kinyan, just a verbal mechila or agreement to leave, there the Rivash says that would not be effective. Others argue, based on the lumdos we said before, some others say that a schirus, a rental, is not a kinyan, it's just a shibud. Shibudim, just like if someone owes you money, you can verbally be meichel. So here too as well, if there is a verbal mechila, that would be enough by schirus. There are some shittos that differentiate between the landlord and the tenant. And as we mentioned last time, ultimately this is a seker d'dina, and the mochzik would prevail. Now there is another added level of added shaila which also could come up in this context. Let's change the case slightly. We have a landlord and tenant, and they have the lease is for a year. 6 months into the lease, they get into a massive fight. Now, this is not so uncommon, especially when the landlord and tenant live together. One lives in the basement, the other one lives upstairs, and one of them's busy complaining about the kids are making too much noise, banging on the floor, and they get into a fight. They're yelling and screaming at each other, and the tenant says, okay, that's it, I'm leaving. Landlord says, great, I'm thrilled to see you go. Go. Goes into, hey, get out of here. The next day, the tenant comes to the landlord and says, okay, you know, I'm moving. You know, the landlord sees a moving truck. He's talking serious. He's moving out. The landlord realizes he spoke a bit too quickly. He's not going to find a tenant quickly that will pay that rent. He says, I was just joking. I didn't mean it. So here we have another question. When a person is in a fight, he says something, does that have legal or halachic toikif? So this is a discussion, actually, for those that may remember, we touched upon it in Schiras Pailim. If you have an employee, you get into a fight with him, and either he quits or you fire him out of anger. So here the Ramah brings down a Yesh Aimrim, and Rav Paiskim certainly hold like this, that a mechila mitoich kas is not a valid mechila. If it was spoken out of anger, we say he did not mean it, and he has the right to retract it. So in this case, where there was a fight and there was a mechila, had there not been a fight, had it been just straight mechila, will we have a machlekes, whether mechila balpeh is enough or you have to make another kinyan. But over here, where the mechila came in the context of a fight, in the context of an argument, here, according to virtually all of the poskim, that mechila would not be a valid mechila, and they still would be bound to the terms of the lease. There's actually, in the Knesset HaGdolah, has a bit of an interesting spin. What happens if there's a fight? And one of them is yelling and screaming, he's angry, he's all over the place. And the other one, very calm, collected, just tells him very quietly, okay, you want to leave, you can leave, I'm moichel. The next day, he has charata, he wants to back out. He wants to retract his mechila. Is that called a mechila mitoich kas or not? The other guy was yelling and screaming. But the one who was moichel spoke very softly, very calmly. Can he use this excuse, can he use this heter that I didn't really mean it? Zakon Knesset HaGedolah, yes. Because as long as it's done in the context of an argument, some people, when they get angry and they argue, the way they argue is they rant and rave and they scream like a lunatic. Now, maybe it works sometimes. I think more often than not, it backfires. Other people, when they get angry or when they're fighting with someone, they speak very quietly. And if you're ever in a position where people are yelling at you and screaming at you, usually the best way to deal with it is just to talk very quietly and very softly. So Zakon Knesset HaGedolah, since the response was in the context of a fight or yelling and screaming, we don't care, we don't look at the fact that this person outwardly seemed to be collected and calm. We say that since he was answering someone who was clearly mitaych hakas, we say that he didn't mean it, and you'd have the right to be chayzer. Now, this halacha is talking about mechila, when there's a verbal release. However, the Imre Bina points out, certainly if a person makes a kinyan or does an action, mitaych kas, he can't go ahead and say, I didn't mean it. If you buy or sell something, or there's a Gemara about the kainim used to be able to garish their wives and then regret it the next day, so when you do an action, it's done. You can't say, I didn't mean it, I was angry. It's only over here where the discussion, where it's just a verbal release, it's a mechila, there already you have this excuse, you have this taina of mitarich kas, and you'd be able to back out. It was actually an interesting case. The halach, the psak is a chiddush, but it brings out this point. A chaver of mine was buying a house, and so the builder put up the house. When it came time to the closing, there was some problem. It was an issue with the mortgage. He wasn't ready to close yet, but he was being evicted from his unit that he was staying in. So the builder did him a favor and said, "No problem. You know, you're going to close at the end of the week anyway. You can move in, put in all your stuff. You move into the house today, and we'll close on Friday. Not a problem." So he moves into the house and settles down. Comes Friday, they're at the closing table, and there was some issue with the closing. Either they got into a fight with the punch list, or the mortgage wasn't ready. I don't remember the details. But anyway, they got into a big fight, and the builder blew up at him. "I did you a favor, I let you move in, and this is how you're treating me. That's it. Get out of the house. If you're not closing before Shabbos, I want you out." And the builder actually gets in the car to drive to the house to start throwing out all of his belongings. So he raced to the house, and they're sitting there, have a confrontation. The builder's trying to get in and throw everything out. He's trying to stop him. Finally, the builder said, "Okay, listen, it's before Shabbos. I'm going home. You have no right to stay in the house." All right. The fellow ignored the builder. He's sitting there a few hours later, sitting there at the Shabbos Suda, singing his Miris. And suddenly he realizes, wait a second. This is not my house. I didn't close yet. It belongs to the builder. And he just told me that he wants me out of the house for Shabbos. I'm a shosh lemidas. Do I have a chiyuv now to middle of the night, pick up my family, take my kids, and move out of the house? So he didn't know what to do. So he walked to the closest dayan, which is about 2 miles away, but he treks through the cold winter night, knocks on the door at 11 o'clock, and asked him, "What do I do? Do I have to take my family and move them outside?" So this particular dayan, I guess, paskin, based on this halacha. He said, "Hayoyis, the builder initially told you can move in, you can stay there until the closing." He says, "The fact that he got into a fight, and mitoich kas, he told you, get out of here," he says, "that is like idoyim etuay mechilu mitoich kas, you have the right to say that he didn't mean it, and therefore he was matar him to stay in the house over Shabbos." Now it's a chiddush, because the case in the Rishay, in the Achroinim, in the Tshuvas, in the Ramah, is all mechilu mitoich kas. Here it's a question of matana. But I'll call upon him. This is the psak that he got in this particular case. So going back, in these cases where there's a verbal mechila mitoich kas, here we have two reasons why the mechila would not be good and the kinyan still would stand. Now, it's important to realize, just to put this in perspective, what we're talking about here is you sign a lease for a year, and within that year, one party or both parties are moichel each other and say, "Let's just move out, let's forget it." On the other hand, if you've already been there for a year, and now you've stayed past that year, and now it's month to month, now me'ikar hadin, there's no kinyan, me'ikar hadin, really, you could leave at any time. So in those cases, although we are going to see there are halachas, you have to give notice. A landlord, even after the year is up, if the person stays longer, the landlord can't just come in on a Tuesday and say, "Okay, you have 3 minutes to vacate the premises. There's a zman hoidah, you have to give notice. We'll discuss how long and under what conditions." In those cases, so there, this halacha won't apply. Erich Lechem writes that in this case, where there's no kinyan anymore, there's just a halacha, there's a takana, you can't throw someone out on a moment's notice. You have to give a certain amount of time. If you verbally waive that halacha, that takana, then you can waive that. The issue is only when we're within the term of the lease, where there's a potential kinyan, then we can discuss how to undo that kinyan, whether mechila is enough or you have to do another ma'isa kinyan. But after the term, when now your only protection is this takana, you have to give someone notice, there the Erech Lechem says that everyone would agree verbally waiving that notice would be enough, and you would have to leave. So now that we've discussed the kinyan of a lease, let's move on and discuss what are the actual obligations of a landlord and tenant. To start with a simple case, you rent an apartment. At the time that you rented it, there was someone living there. You agreed to take it in 2 months, starting in 2 months. When you come, what happens when you come into the apartment the first day, and you see there are things that are broken. There are some things that are serious, major defects, other things that are minor. All the filters, all the air filters need to be fixed. There are the things that need to be done. What responsibility, what does the landlord have to do to, as far as providing a unit and maintaining the unit? So the Mishnah makes a very interesting distinction. The Mishnah says that when you rent an apartment, the halacha is any repair that requires a professional is the landlord's responsibility. Any repair that does not require a professional, that a typical homeowner would do on his own, he wouldn't bother hiring someone to do it for him, there, that is something which the tenant has to take care of. It's not the landlord's responsibility. Now, the Mishnah's example of something which a homeowner does on his own is actually if you have a leaky roof and you have to seal it up to make sure water doesn't get through, that's something that you do on your own. That's something you don't bother calling a professional. Now, today, clearly the mitzvah has changed. I'm not sure how many people here ever went up on their roofs, and certainly to seal them and to waterproof them is not something that a typical homeowner will do. So today, that's something that clearly would be the landlord's responsibility. Last week, I actually took an informal survey. I was trying to figure out what kind of maintenance does a homeowner do. We actually couldn't find any. One person said he actually banged in a nail to hang up a picture. Plunging a toilet, I think, was the only example of some form of maintenance that people do today. But once it gets more complex than that, I think today the norm is to hire other people to do it, and almost everything would fall in the first category of the Mishnah, a ma'isa uman, something that the landlord would be responsible to do. Now, even if when you saw the apartment, when he showed it to you, there were things broken that need to be repaired, still, the halacha is, before you actually move in, the landlord has to fix anything that requires an uman or professional to do. We do not assume there's a mechila. The reason why no one said anything is it's self-evident, before I move into the house, it's got to have a lock, it's got to have a door, the windows have to work, it has to be in decent condition. And therefore, even though nothing was said, we don't say there's a mechila, we don't say it's a shtika kaida, the landlord will have to fix everything before the fellow actually takes possession of the unit. Now, along comes the Ramah and limits this halacha drastically. Ramah is based on a Muki Yosef, and he says as follows. This concept that the Mishnah says, there's a difference between a Maisa Uman and a Maisa Hedyot. That anything requires a professional, that's the landlord's responsibility. Something you can do on your own, that you have to do, you can't ask the landlord to take care of that for you. Zog the Muki Yosef, that just means that on day one, when you move into the unit, any repair that requires a professional is the landlord's responsibility. However, once you move into the unit, once it's in good condition, working condition, and now it breaks afterwards, Zog the Muki Yosef, and this is the way the Ramah paskins, the landlord has no responsibility to fix it. Now, there is one distinction. It's not so relevant today, so I'll go through it very briefly. That it depends how you rented. If you recall, when we talked about renting a car, there was a difference between car zeh and car stam. That if you rent a specific unit, car zeh, or in this case, bayah zeh, that's where the Ramah is talking about. It has to be good the moment you take possession. What happens afterwards, that's not the landlord's responsibility. He doesn't have to fix anything. Ma'isa umon, ma'isa hedyot, makes no difference. It's your problem. However, by bayis stam, when there where you don't rent a specific house, the landlord says, I will give you a unit. So there, he has a greater responsibility. There, he is obligated to give you a unit. A unit means a livable house, a house that's in good condition. And in that case, just because there's a problem with this unit, he doesn't have to fix it, but then he has to provide you with another unit. So by bayis stam, when the landlord's obligation is to provide you with a house, then it has to be in good condition, and he's liable for repairs that happen afterwards. But by bayis zeh, which is the normal case, you lease a specific unit, there the Ramah says, as long as when he gave it to you it was in good condition, he has no further responsibility. The only case that I can think of bayis stam, where you rent you're not renting a specific unit, is if you check into a hotel. If you check into a hotel, you're renting a room for the night. But you don't call the hotel and say, I'm renting room 317. You call or rent a room. They may be different classes, different types of rooms. But the hotel can give you any room that they have that meets that criteria. So that is a case of bias stam. In that case, if you check into a hotel, you're paying a nice five-star hotel, you're paying a few hundred dollars a night. So if 2 hours later there's a leak in the roof, the hotel cannot say, pull out this ramah and say, I'm sorry. When you moved into the hotel, when you checked in, there was no leak. Now there's water pouring down. That's your problem. Because this is a case of bias stam, where you didn't rent a specific room, and therefore the hotel certainly would have to fix it or provide you with another room. But in a case where you rent a house, bias zeh, if anything happens afterwards, the Ramah says that is the tenant's problem. Excellent.
So which category would that be?
That would be bias stam, because that's a case where his responsibility is just to provide you with this amount of space, or space that meet this criteria. It's not on a specific area, and therefore the landlord in that case would have greater responsibility. But that being said, commercial leases are very often a triple net, where they explicitly say they're not taking any responsibility. Ask you, or is the pshat, you are renting 5,000 square feet from him. He can give you any 5,000 square feet that he wants.
Yeah, but he wants to make 10 improvements. He can't say, I'm not giving you raw space.
Well, that's, okay. His case is where he can move you around. I mean, yeah. Fine. Wait, that's a set. But if they have the right to move you, then you don't have, they're not renting you specific space. And it's true if you put in improvements, though, they have to reimburse you for that. But they have the right to move you. If they have the right to move you, I would say that is bias. That's bias dumb.
In an apartment building situation, let's say Victorian Gardens, you want to rent an apartment there. You say, I need a two-bedroom apartment. Is it fine? We'll find you one. At the end of the day, once they show you, let's say, three different
right,
apartments.
Right, that's probably bias, yeah.
I want this.
That's bias, yeah. That's by his end. In a hotel, when you make your reservations, it's not on a specific room. Even when you check in, very often you'll check in, and then they'll give you the keys and tell you which room it is. So in that case, it's never by his end. In your case, where initially you may have just said, I want space, but you then look at the particular unit, and they rent you that particular unit. They can't go ahead the next day and say, we changed our mind, we're moving you to a different unit. So that would clearly be by his end. So... what? Okay, good. We'll get there. So the Ikar HaDin, the Ramah paskins, basically any repair is the tenant's problem. Now, although this is a halacha mufuresh, it's in Simon Shin Yud Dalet, if anyone did a little bit earlier, Simon Shin Yud Beis, Sif Yud Zayin, there the Mechaber brings down a Tshuvas HaRosh. The Tshuvas HaRosh is, the Mechaber over there is talking about the difference between Bayez and Bayez Dan. And in the context, if the house falls down, what happens if you rent a unit and the house falls down? So the Mechaber paskins that you get a refund. This is, we mentioned earlier, it's a machlokes, but the Mechaber's psak is what you do is you pay for the time that you live there from when it collapsed. You get a refund. You don't pay for that time. But the Mechaber says it depends on the lease. If it's bayezeh, you rent a specific house, the house falls down. Okay, so the lease is terminated because it's no longer here, it's an oinus, you get your money back and you move on. However, if it's bayis stam, if you rented bayis stam, there, even though this house fell, the landlord still has a responsibility to provide you with an equivalent unit. And therefore, the landlord has to come up with other space for you. Zok the Rosh, this distinction between bayis zeh and bayis stam, that by bayis zeh, if it collapses, the lease is finished. That's when the house completely collapses. Ma she'en kein, if it didn't collapse, but you see the one of the beams is getting shaky, it's dangerous to live in. There the Rosh says, and the Chaber Paskins, that landlord has to fix the beam. He has to fix it to prevent the sakana, to prevent the danger. He can't just go ahead and say and terminate the lease. So the Goyin and the Ktsois both point out, we have a major stira. If the Mechaber paskins in Shin Yud Beis, and the other Ramah doesn't argue, that if the beam of the house is collapsing, the landlord has to fix it. How could the Ramah and Shin Yodalit say that the whole responsibility of the landlord is only before you move in? Once you move in, whatever happens is the tenant's fault. The tenant's not his fault, but his problem. The landlord has no responsibility. We have a stira. Well, it's... Now, there are a number of approaches how to deal with the stira. The Goyin and the Ksayis seem to learn it's Taka Machlekes. And it's Machlekes Mechaber and Ramah. And it would be a sacred Dino. The Muchzik would win. The Minchas Pitim says that the Rosh is that Enechanami, the Halacha, Ikra Halacha is like the Ramah, that the landlord generally does not have to make any repairs. He says the one exception is when it's a sakan. When it's a sakana to live in there, he says it's different. He doesn't explain why, but he says in that case the landlord would have a responsibility to fix it even after the tenant moves in. But anything else that happens, the landlord can say I don't have any obligation to fix it. Now, as far as practice, so let's first start with halachadik, then let's deal with the minog or the facts on the ground. As far as halachadik, we have a machlokes. The Ramah says the landlord never has to fix anything. The Mechaber seems to say that at least in the case of sakana and perhaps in other cases, you do have to fix it. What do we do if it's a machlokes? It's a sveka didina. There's no clear hachra. So l'chor, the muchzik will win. Who is the muchzik in this case? So l'chor, it depends what everyone wants to do. If the tenant tries to force the landlord to fix it, so he wants the landlord to pay, landlord could say, I'm a muchzik, I'm not taking money out of my pocket, I'm not doing this repair. On the other hand, if the tenant says, I am not staying in this house and paying rent when there is water cascading on my head, if you don't fix it, I'm moving out. So in that case, the tenants will be the muchzik, and the tenant would have the right to do so. In truth, even without hilchos sveikus, the tenant probably has the right to move out. Because just like we learned earlier, by a case of a chamor, you rent a chamor and it dies. So everyone agrees, the lease is terminated, and you don't pay for the time once the chamor is dead. Here too, although the Ramah says that the landlord doesn't have to fix it, he's talking about when the landlord is a chiv to fix it. The Ramah doesn't discuss whether the tenant is locked into this lease. And it's not mistaver if because of the problem here, the unit is not livable. There's water, there's no lock, the roof is leaking, you can't live there. It's very mistaver to say the tenant has the right to move out. So the whole machlokes l'chayr is only whether you can force the landlord to pay for the repairs, but if the tenant says, that's it, I'm moving out, l'chayr, he would have the right to do so. But now let's take it to the next step. Let's say the tenant doesn't want to move out. He doesn't want to move out. We're saying he can't force the landlord to pay for the repairs. It's a machlokes. So what does the tenant do? He says, I have no brera. I can't find another unit. Rent's shot up. Anywhere else, I'll invest a few dollars. I'll fix the roof. What's the halacha? Let's take the tenant out. Let's ignore the tenant for a moment. Let's say you're walking by a house and you see there's water leaking through the roof. Now, you're a very handy fellow. You see this person's water leaking to his house. It's going to destroy the house. So you get up there on the roof and you fix it. You fix the roof. You send the owner a bill. The owner says, I never asked you to fix this. What's the halacha? So this is a classic case of yorid, which we discussed a couple of years ago, where if there's a repair that needs to be done and someone goes ahead and does it, he has the right to demand full payments. It was asuyulita. The landlord had to fix it. He didn't have an option of leaving it as is.
Isn't that the evidence? I mean, what gives you... In other words...
Adrabah, you're doing him a taiva. You're doing him a taiva. This landlord is sleeping. By the time he wakes up, everything will be perfect. Instead of him having to work the phones and trying to find someone, hassle-free, he gets a perfect job. So the halacha is, by asuyulita, if it's a repair that needs to be done, you can send the person a bill. You have the right to be compensated. Oh, wait, we'll get good? Good, we'll get there. So in Cain, forget about a machloikis and Hilchos landlord tenant. If this unit is leaking and the landlord has a problem, he's gonna have to the tenant can move is moving out. But now there's a leaking, there's a roof leaking, the landlord's going to have to fix it because otherwise it'll destroy the house. So Dalmei Hochi, the rights and obligations of Schiras Karka, but if you go ahead and you hire someone to fix it, you'll be able to bill the landlord as a Yoyrid. You're a Yoyrid, it's a repair that needed to be done, you could demand payment. Now, wait, in a case, you're doing him a favor, it's a, you're doing him a toiva, it needs to be done. So in this case, putting aside Hilchus Schiras Karka, where we have this Machlokes Ramon Mechaber, but if it's Asu Yolita, if it would need to be done, and you do it, you can send him a bill. Now the bill, obviously, you'll let you go through in Hilchus Yoyrid, it'll be, you know, if you overpay, obviously, you will not recover that extra. If the landlord says, I didn't need it to be done, I could have done it cheaper, again, those will all be good arguments. But in many cases, putting aside Hilchus Schiras Karka, you will have a din of a Yoyrid. Now there is one complication, and that is we discussed in Hilchus Yoyrid, there's an esivus that Yoyrid is when you do something for someone else's benefit. On the other hand, if you do something for your benefit, but mimela someone else has hana, that is very often a case of zenen of zelachasa. Since the expense was for yourself, that's who you were doing it for, that's who you were mechaven for. Just the other person's benefit was incidental. So in those cases, you may not be able to get reimbursed. However, again, without going back into the nitty-gritty of Hilchus Yoyrid, the Imre Yosher, says that in this case, since when you did the repair, you understood it was for both. It was the repair. It's true you're living here, but it's the Baal Bayis' house. He says you would have the right to claim Yoyrid to get reimbursed. Correct. Now, this is all the halacha. Where we have a machlokes, we have a discussion of muchzik, we had a discussion of whether, even if you can't force the repair, whether you can move out, and finally we have this concept of Hilchus Yoyrid. The Metzius HaDvarim is that although in halacha, the Ramah paskins, there's no obligation for a landlord to do repairs once the tenant moves in, certainly the practice and the minhag today is not like that. Today the minhag is the landlord does do many repairs. Not only is the minhag not like the Ramah in the sense that even when you move in, the landlord does repairs, but also the type of repairs is much broader today than what's discussed in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, the Gemara, and Halacha are all discussing critical repairs. There's a problem, there's a leaky roof. There's no lock on the door. There are no windows. Something which you can't live in the house normally without this thing being repaired. And there we have this distinction between before or after, profession, ma'ase umma, and ma'ase hedya. However, today, landlords, certainly the practice is for them to take care or maintain the units even in things that are not critical for the use, even if they're just cosmetic. And certainly today, the minhag is to create much, or to place much greater, a greater burden on the landlord. Now, in all areas of Chayshim Mishpat, and specifically here, the Rambam writes, minhag mevatel halacha. If the minhag of the practice is landlords do these kinds of repairs, then whenever you move into a unit, the assumption is that the landlord is accepting that responsibility. And therefore, a landlord cannot pull out a Shulchan Aruch, Simin Shin Yud Dalet, or Shin Yud Beis, and say, I don't have to do anything. There's a clear minhag to do repairs, and both parties are bound to the minhag. Where things will get very sticky, and where this halacha will be very relevant, is some repairs are very clear. If something breaks, if the air conditioning blows, it's very clear there's a minhag, the landlord will fix it. What about repairs where there's no clear minhag? I mean, one example, which at least I'm not aware of a minhag, is what happens exterminating. The house becomes infested. So if it's an apartment building, I think there's a clear minhag, the landlord takes care of that. But if it's just a house, sometimes the landlord says, you know, you brought in the bugs. You weren't clean, or the bed bugs came in. Your cleaning lady, or whatever it is, you brought it in. You take care of the problem. Is there a clear minhag one way or another about who pays for the exterminating? So like this, if there is a clear minhag, we follow the minhag. The halacha is not relevant. The minhag prevails. However, any case where the minhag is unclear. Sometimes the landlord pays, sometimes the tenant. Or it's just a unique thing. It doesn't happen very often. and therefore there's no developed minhag on this kind of repair. So whenever there's no minhag, we revert to the ikar halacha. Since the ikar halacha is the landlord has no responsibility to repair anything once the lease begins, so then you would not be able to force the landlord to make that repair. Because when you're relying on minhag, you can only use things that are clear, that are obvious, that are widespread, and therefore any suffix, anytime the minhag is not clear, we will revert back to ikar halacha, and it will be the tenant's responsibility. Now, another interesting case over here is what happens if there is a problem in the unit, the toilet gets stuffed, or the washing machine breaks. But it happened through the tenant's negligence. Now, if a tenant is negligent, is he responsible for damage to the unit? So let's deal with this on a few levels. So now, we've been learning that we've had this chabur for long enough that we've gone through many of the halacha concepts. Let's deal with some of the concepts that we've discussed in the past and see what applies. The easiest way to be mechayev someone for damage is hilchos shomrim. If you're responsible, you're a soicher, you're renting something, you're responsible for negligence, ganeiva v'aveda, you have a fairly high level of responsibility for the item. If there's a suffix how the damage came about, a shomer is liable. Because a shomer has to make a shvua. He has to be able to swear that this damage was not through my negligence. And if he can't, if it's unclear, if it's a suffix, he's responsible to pay. So shomer is the broadest way of being mechai of the tenant. But there's a very basic problem with Shoinbim in this case. And that is, you're leasing a house. The house is karka. The halacha is, there's no din shmira on karka. And therefore, al tilchus shomer, there's no chiyuv. Now, there's a machoikis by pshia, by negligence. But l'mayis ha-moitzach mechadeo v'raya, you cannot be mechayiv a shomer to pay, even if there's negligence, when the shmira is on karka. The next way to try to assign liability is mazik. If you're dying, you go ahead, you cause damage, adamur la'olam, even if you didn't do it intentionally, if you went ahead and you were mazik something, you're going to be responsible. Now, although mazik adamur la'olam, you don't need intent, but mazik is only chayiv when it's direct. Whether it's adam ha-mazik, you do it directly. Garmi, we discussed when you cause it, where it's immediate, where ma'is b'gof ha-mamayin, bari hazeka, there are a lot of conditions, you know, but it has to be a fairly direct action. Once it's indirect, it's a grama, or certainly if it's a suffix, if it's not clear whether your actions cause the damage or not, you can't be mechayivim. There's no din of mazik. Me'ikar ha-din, you're not responsible for your kid's damage. Now, it happens to be in the leases, almost all say you're responsible for any of your family or even your guests. But in straight halacha, in the absence of a lease or a minhag, if a guest comes in, takes an axe and smashes a window, it has nothing to do with you. Go after the guest. And your children as well. Your children, you are responsible for the damage that your dog or your pets do, but your children are not your mamon. They're not your pets, and there's an ikar hadin. There's no chiyuv for the damage that they cause.
And then you rent an apartment in this condition. A year later, you're giving it back in this condition.
Mm-hmm.
You're not. The landlord can't tie into you. Listen, I gave you the apartment. You give it back with holes in every wall.
No, because like you should be able to ask Malzdine Shmira. You're a shomer. You have to give it back in the same condition that you got it. The problem is it's shmir on karka. And there's no din shmir on karka. Elamai mazik, so it's true. If you took an axe and you made the holes, you'll be liable al mazik. But if someone else came in, again, putting aside the terms of the lease, which will obviously change things, but if someone else did it, or if it's not clear how it happened, hamoiz mechadeh overah, you're going to be potter. Because it's attached to the ground. It actually is a machlokes tolish l'b'sayf chibroi. Since the materials, at some point you went to Home Depot, you bought the materials, but once you cement it into the ground, hopefully it's attached pretty firmly. But it is a machlokes, but certainly there's a kimli over here, and you won't be, it will have a din of karka. So although in Hilchos Mazik and Hilchos Shomrim, you may be able to wiggle out of your responsibilities. However, if you're trying to get the landlord to fix it, then he can certainly turn the tables and say, listen, really the halacha is a landlord has no responsibility to fix things. Elamai, you're telling me there's a minhag today that landlords take care of all sorts of things that they don't have to according to strict halacha. There's no minhag for a landlord to go ahead and repair, to fix up your problem, the mess that you caused. So in these cases, although in Hilchos Mazik, yesh ladain, whether you are or aren't chayiv, when the discussion is trying to force a landlord to repair something which was caused through the tenant's negligence, even if this negligence is not a mazik, it's not a shamer, it doesn't fit into any of the other categories, you certainly can't force the landlord to go ahead and to make these kinds of repairs.